for a room in the east side of Detroit. And he, his first shop was down in the basement of where the record is now, Northville Record. And it was a big shop. I can't remember if he had the pool room or not. You used to talk to him there. But anyway, he had two or three locations after that, and practically every barber that was in Northville after that, for the next 30 years, he had trained in his shop. And his last location was on Main Street, right next to the old Hills Meat Market, and it was still there, wasn't it, when he first moved in there?
Yes, right.
And there was a Rathburn Chevrolet on the left-hand side, and there for a while there was a pool room next to Rathburn Chevrolet. But he retired. He had a heart attack in his 60s, 50s, and retired. But he couldn't stand. He loved people, and in fact, he had two brothers who were doctors, and he had taken up the barber trade to send them to school, medical school, because my father had already had a college education, but took that up to send them to medical school, and he was not married then, and they in turn were supposed to send him on to medical school. But they had married nurses that they had met, and I suppose the wives and they themselves setting up a new practice weren't able to do that. But I never heard him complain, and I wondered why he couldn't find the resources to go on to school. And it wasn't until about a month before he died that I had found out that we had gone to a ride with, I had gone on a ride with him one day, and he we drove to Chelsea, which was his hometown, and he had been working in the summer to help finance his college education, and he had an accident. These were farmers with a what was it?
A thrashing machine,
and it had cut off half of his foot. And so in those days there wasn't any insurance or any
nobody sued anybody either.
And nobody sued anyone, and his parents wouldn't let him because they were neighbors, and all his earnings he had taken up as I said the barber trade, and all his earnings went for boots and medical expenses. And so then he was married, and they had four children. In fact, my mother was very, very well liked in Northville. The Deals, Dayton Deals, lived next door, and she had told me a lot about my mother when we were younger and other people. And my mother died of breast cancer at 44. But to go back to my father,
How old were you at that time?
I was 9, but my father never said anything or complained, and I never knew why he couldn't get enough money to go on to medical school, because he loved people and he had to be with people and he was so good with people. But that was the reason. There was the money, and then he was married and had a family. And my mother died in 1929, and there were four children. And at that time, they usually, if relatives, and we didn't have that many relatives, that would, well, I suppose would be willing to take four children, they would put them in a
orphanage.
And my father just couldn't think of that. And we had many, many housekeepers, and some were good and some were awful. And finally he married, and I'm sure he married to keep his family together.
This one little story about Rita's father. He was a real jokester and a lot of fun, and I liked her, Rita's father, very much. And when I was a little boy, I went there to get a haircut. In those days, haircuts were 50 cents in his barber shop. And my father had his Northville Electric shop just a short ways away. So I went in.
And your father and you were friends.
My father and Rita's father, you were friends. They used to go fishing together. So I said, my mother's told my dad I need a haircut, so go down and get 50 cents to get a haircut. So I went 50 cents and to get a haircut. So I had the 50 cents all wrapped up in my fist. And so I sat there, and so Mr. Heatley said, you get a haircut, eh, Bruce? And I said, yep. Yes, sir, Mr. Heatley. So he cut my hair, and then when he got done, he said, would you like a massage? I said, oh, yeah, sure, I like a massage. So he gave me a massage, and he said, would you like a treatment? And I said, oh, yeah, sure, that'd be nice, give me a treatment. So he gave me a treatment and got this massage machine out and massaged my hair and everything and got me all fixed up. So I got out of his chair, and he said, okay, Bruce, that'll be $1. And I said, I beg your pardon? And he said, that'll be $1. And I said, well, I only have 50 cents. And he said, well, as you know, he said, it's 50 cents for a haircut and 25 cents for a massage and 25 cents for a treatment. And he said, you told me you wanted all those things. And
so
I said, yes, sir.
It's a joke with your father.
And I said, yes, sir. And he said, well, I tell you what, he said, you take your 50 cents and go down to your father and give it back to him and tell him you need $1. And I said, yes, sir. So I went out of the place as fast as I could and ran up to my father and I said, hey, Dad, I need $1. And he said, what do you mean $1? And I said, well, I got a haircut. And he said, well, the haircut's only 50 cents. And I said, yeah, but I got a massage and I said, I got a treatment. And he said, oh, that darn Ed Al. He said, so he gave me $1 and he was chuckling too. So it was a joke all the way, but it wasn't a joke for me because I was real embarrassed. And so I ran back and just as fast as I could, and I gave him $1, and then I got out of there as quick as I could.
Well, tell him about when you were embarrassed before we were married.
We went to Toledo, and we had just...
Oh, well, that was different, but that's okay. Tell
we'll
that
tell
one.
It.
Go ahead, tell we'll that tell, one.
What were you talking about then?
The golf clubs.
Oh, all right. One day when Rita and I were engaged to be married, and it was on a Sunday, and I always like to play golf, so I thought it'd be a good idea to buy Rita a set of golf clubs and teach her how to play golf before we got married so we could play golf together. So it was on a Sunday that I stopped by there on a Sunday morning. I bought the clubs on Saturday. So I knocked at the door, and Mr. Heatley came to the door, and he said, yes, what would you like? And I said, well, is Rita here? And he said, what do you want Rita for? And I said, well, I have a gift for her.
I mean, he wasn't that stern.
Well, he was joking. But I had this set of golf clubs, and so I said, I have a gift for her. And he said, do you know what day this is? And I said, well, it's Sunday. No, he said, it's Mother's Day. And he said, is there any connection between these golf clubs and Rita? He said, now I want to know about this. And I said, oh, no, Mr. Lee. Oh, no, Mr. Lee. Nothing there at all. Nothing there at all.
Well, tell him the other one then.
Yeah, the other time we were down at, do you want to tell him about the Toledo?
We went down right after we were married. One of my uncles, Dr. Bob Heatley, had died. He had worked so hard during the war. He was a OB doctor, and women were having babies day and night, and he never had any sleep, and he lost a kidney. And then this is the result of his death, the second one. We went down. My dad made arrangements for my stepmother and he, and the two of us to stay overnight at the hotel. And my dad always slept in a single bed. And so he made the arrangements that he would have the double bed and we would have the single beds. And he thought that was a big joke. But it turned out that we stayed in the single bed and he was miserable all night. So that was kind of a... So he was always playing jokes, but he was not nasty jokes, and the people knew him, and they loved it, because...
Another little thing, that Al was so much fun, he had a BB gun, and so in those days, the dogs would run up and down Dunlap Street, and Rita's lived at 304 Dunlap Street for many years, right on the corner of that, the house that's painted brown right now. It was painted white at that time. I think white is the color of what the house should be. But anyhow, he had his barber shop right in the front. And
that's after he retired. I didn't finish that before. He retired, and then he couldn't stand being home, and they had a cottage at Wall Lake, but between the two places, he couldn't stand it. So then we had a parlor off of our living room and a separate entrance from the front porch. So he had permission, and at that time you could have commercial on Dunlap Street. He opened his barber shop in the parlor, and they had a separate entrance, and it was sealed off from the house. And he would make appointments, so if he felt good, why he would people would call up, and he would cut their hair, his old customers. And
While I'm thinking about it, it's rather unusual. Rita was more or less brought up in Norfolk and lived here all of her life. I was brought up in Norfolk and lived here all my life. Rita started out living on 304 Dunlop Street, and we ended up on Eaton Drive, which is only about four or five blocks away. I was born on Main Street and moved to First Street, and from First Street moved to Fairbrook Street, and from Fairbrook back to Eaton Drive, which, so between the two of us, in the last 65 years, we have lived within about six blocks of where we were born and brought up, which I think is rather unusual.
I wanted to finish that before, interrupt my train of thought.
I beg your pardon.
And now I don't even know what I was going to say. Now, wait a minute.
I want to tell about the story about the dogs.
Oh, no. Oh, okay.
All right, then you can think what you're going to say.
I can't think of it now.
As they're saying, that the dogs used to run up and down Dunlap Street, and the dog catcher was not very good in those days. It's not much better than what it is today. But anyhow, Al Heatley, Rita's father, and my father-in-law had a real good BB gun. So he, every time when these dogs would come trotting down Dunlap Street, he would open up the door just a little bit, and his aluminum door would squeak a little bit on his storm door, and he would take a pink at one of these dogs. Well, he was such a good shot with that little BB gun. I was over there getting a haircut one day, and he opened up the door, and this pretty good-sized brown dog put its tail between its legs and went running down the street and was going, yip, 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 yip. And I said, well, what happened? You hadn't even shot yet. And he said, well, that dog knows that when that door opens up, he's going to get hit. So we had the dogs all trained up and down Dunlap Street. All you do is open up the door, and they start yipping, and they hadn't even got hit yet. But anyway.
Oh, what I was going to say is that I mentioned before my dad went back in the barber business and took appointments. And so he started around 60 years of age, and he did this until he was 82, and up until 1 week before he died. He barbered in the parlor by appointments. And
his clientele was the executives of Northville.
Well,
all the business people of Northville that could go in there and make a Of course, everybody went in there to see Al, but he would go in then and by appointment. People could come in the evening.
And out and not wait. And anyway, my father died in February 1962, and Bruce's father died 6 weeks later. And they were the best of friends in life, and they seemed their lives were snuffed out at about the same time.
But when my father died, he died in the University of Michigan Hospital in Ann Arbor, and he'd had a heart attack, and like Rita said, they were best of friends, and they died within 6 weeks of each other, both in the University of Michigan Hospital. But the day that my father died, he was very alert and very keen, and he was looking out the window watching them play golf on the golf course, and he said to his nurse, "My golly, look at that fellow. He had a pretty good golf ball. He hit that pretty good just then. Did you see that?" And the nurse said, "No." So she looked out the window to look at it, and she looked back. My father was dead.
You've mentioned golf several times, as golf has been a love of yours since high school, I guess, many years.
Yes.
What area golf courses have you played at, or do you not usually play in the immediate area?
Well, I've always wanted to belong a member, to be a member of Meadowbrook, but financially I never could afford it. So we play all the Northville golf courses around the area. We play the old Northville golf course, which is on 7 Mile Road, which has simply been torn down. We started playing at Bobolink. In fact, a bunch of the businessmen in Northville back in the about 1950 started the Northville Golf League. And there's Hugh Godfrey and Orson Atchison and myself and some of the other men in Northville. And that's the same Northville Golf League that's being run at the present time, and they're playing at Braeburn Golf Course. But we played all the courses in this area. Bobolink was one of the first courses. In fact, Rita and I were members at Bobolink Golf Course, and I think the tune was $35 a year per family back in about 1950 to be a total member, to be play golf for the whole season for $35.
Is Bobolink still there?
Bobolink is there now, but they've just changed the name to it. It's
on Grand River.
It's on Grand River and Beck Road. I forget what the name it is right now. But in those days, why, Bobolink was there, Northville Golf Course was there, and then also Braeburn Golf Course was there. Since then, they've added Salem and Mission Hills, and there's many, many numerous golf courses around Northville now, and very good golf courses. We're very fortunate to have good courses. In the summertime, I try to play golf at least once a week, and if Rita let me, I'll go out twice a week, besides keeping up the yard and the garden and a few other little things. So Rita plays a good game of golf also. She doesn't get out as often as I think she ought to, but she also likes to play golf.
Another thing we... did you know
about, that's why one of our main objections, and I enjoy it when we go to Florida now. We play a lot of golf because we're right on the golf course in the condo where we're at.
Okay.
No, that's all.
Okay. We've touched on a little bit, but I don't think we talked in any detail about either of your brothers and sisters. Would one of you like to start and say, like...
Okay, I have one sister, and she's 2 years older than I am. Her name is Marion, and she married a man named Mr. Russell. And my sister went to Eastern Michigan and graduated from there and became a physical ed teacher. And she went to Dearborn High School right out of college, and she was the physical ed director of Dearborn High School in Dearborn, Michigan for 25 years, and she retired there. And they lived on Highland Street in Dearborn at that time. And George worked for the railroad, and he trained between Detroit and Chicago back and forth. And then they retired from Dearborn, and now they live in the top of the world in Clearwater, Florida.
And Mr. Russell was originally from the Dearborn area?
No, he was from
New York State.
Hempstead, New York.
And he went to college at Eastern Michigan also and was very good in the sports. In fact, he was the captain of the golf team, and he was also captain of the football team in Eastern Michigan. But it was during the Depression, and the government paid more money than the school teachers did. So instead of being a coach in high school, he worked for the government. And on that job, he'd work a week and off a week. And the week that he was off, he took up CPA work. So he would be a CPA on the week that he wasn't working on the railroad track, or the railroad company. They would sort mail on the trains.
And what was the company that just went under, or thinking about going under? I can never think of the name.
The
men's clothing store in Ann Arbor, over at 12 Oaks. And they're shutting some of the stores down. Well, he was their CPA.
Van Horn.
He was Van Horn's CPA until they went to Florida.
And they are both still living in Florida.
Yeah, they're living in top of the world, Florida. And when we go down next week, we'll be seeing them for a couple, 3 days. Incidentally, while we're going to Florida, we'll also be attending the reunion of the Northville reunion down there. And last year we went there, and there are 93 people at the reunion, and it's very nice to get together, because a lot of Northville people who are not living in Northville anymore, they've all retired to Florida, but they've been coming and having a reunion down there for the last 30 years, and it's down at Sarasota. So we're looking forward to going down there and seeing a lot of people from Northville we hadn't seen before.
Okay. Okay, now let's talk a little bit about Rita's.
Well, I have three sisters and a brother. And then I have a half-sister and a half-brother from my father's second marriage. And, well, I won't go into detail, which they're all living, and they all live around here, except my sister who retired to Florida.
They've all stayed in Northville?
They were all living outside of Northville until about 15, 16 years ago when Northville Commons was developed on 6 Mile Road, and I was working for the township then, and we were thinking about Bruce said to me, would you like to live in the township as long as you're working there? And I knew he would never move there anyway, but we looked at the show houses. There were only three or four then, and I liked this one real well, and he did too. It was the style, and it was all furnished with drapes and curtains and carpeting, which were my colors. And I said, well, if we move here, I would like to this house. And about a month later, my sister called, who lived in Redford Township, and said she'd never live in Northville. Lo and behold, she called me up and said, we're moving to Northville. We bought a house. And I said, where? And she said, I forget the builder's name, on Winchester, and she described it. And I said, well, that's just the house that we would have bought. So you can tell we have the same kind of ideas and style. But that was kind of a shock because she said she'd never live in Northville. So they lived there until 3 years ago where they moved to Florida.
And what is that sister's name?
Marion.
Marion.
Where was the township office for the Northville Township at that time?
It was in the old church school. The church school, isn't that at the Mill Race now on Center Street.
And no, then, before that, where was the first one? Out in 6 Mile Road in Northville Road, out in the old church out there. That's where the first township hall was.
I know, but I didn't work there.
You mean on Wing Street, right?
On Wing Street, yes. Then it was moved, and so the township relocated their offices in where the recreation building is now, on one side of the
gymnasium floor.
Yes, which side? This side.
East side.
And the school offices were on the other side of the stage.
What did you do for the township when you worked for the township?
I worked in the water and sewer department,
the billing,
Did you ever work up at the Northville High School?
And then, I don't know if I should about. Anyway, I decided that I might like to work for the Northville school system. So one day I just went across the, not even hall, the stage practically, and went over there and applied for a job, and they hired me immediately as a secretary, and then I had an interview with Mrs. Bradford up at the high school, who was head of the counseling department, and she hired me, and I was a secretary in the high school counseling office.
And what year would that have been?
1972. So,
and you were for both places for a total of about how many years? The township.
About 6 years.
About 6 years.
But what Rita made that one statement, she looked at this new home out in the township, and being a Northville person. If I was going to live in Northville, I wanted to live in Northville and not in Northville Township. Not that I had anything against the township, but my loyalty and my thinking was all for Northville at that time. And so I thought I wanted to live in Northville. So.
And I won't go into detail why I changed
that. The house that you're currently living in has some history as well. Would one of you like to say a little bit about the house that you live in now?
Okay, Mr. Eaton told me years back that he was going to sell his house here when he got old enough, and he couldn't live in the house any longer. And Mr. Eaton lives on Eaton Drive, And of course, the street was more or less named in his honor of Eaton Drive, because this was property of the old Eaton, part of the old Eaton farm. But anyhow, Mr. Eaton said one day, I'm going to sell my, oh, he told me he was going to sell the house, and eventually he came over to my house one Sunday morning and said, Bruce, I'm going to put my house up for sale. And I said, Mr. Eaton, you've already sold it. And he said, you don't even know how much I'm going to ask you for it. And I said, well, Mr. Eaton was in the real estate business at that time, and I said, I'm sure the price will be right. So we bought the house from Mr. Eaton, and Mr. Eaton built the home back in, what was it, 1920s. He built the home, and he had twin boys and one girl, and he had the family before he had the home. So he built the home, one large bedroom for the twin boys and one smaller bedroom for his daughter, and then a room for he and his wife. And it's a very well-built old home, and it's 3/4 acre of land here, and I always like to have a garden. So Mr. Eaton said, well, Bruce, I'm real happy that you're buying my home, because I know that you'll take good care of it. And he has an orchard out in the back, which I did take care of it and do still take care of it. And we like the home very much. It's a very homey type of a home, and it has good vibrations, and when you walk it in, it feels like a real home, and we're very happy to be here.
And what's the address of this house?
This house is 365 Eaton Drive. We lived across the street for about 20 years. Do you want to tell them about the move? We moved across from...
Well, we lived there about 20 years, and then we had asked Mr. Eaton at least 10 years before he sold the house, if you ever sell it, we would like to have...
I told him about that.
Oh, did you? All right. So the day we moved, my sister Marion and her husband and her two children and her son, three, and two of our sons, anybody that was available in those two families, there were about 12 of us, we went to church that morning, and we came home about 9 o'clock, had breakfast, we were all there, and I stayed in the Eaton's house, and they moved room by room. The fellows would take a dresser, and a woman would take a drawer with everything in it and come across, and I'd tell them where to put it. And so we moved room by room, and I didn't do a lot of packing. And by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, after walking back and forth the street 100 times, we were settled, and my sister insisted on going over and cleaning the house, and I came over here and made dinner for everyone. And we were settled that night. Go ahead.
I don't know if I mentioned this before or not, but I think we've said this before. It is who that built the house in Northville on whose house it is. Even today, some people say, Bruce, whereabouts do you live? Especially some of the old timers in Northville. And I say, I live on 365 Eaton Drive. And they say, oh, yes, you bought the old Eaton house. Well, it's kind of unusual. We think it's our house, but we've lived here over 20 years, almost 25 years now, and we think it's our house, but the old-timers still call it the Eaton House. We went to a cocktail party a few years back, and so I heard a lady behind me sing, where do you live? And this woman said, we lived in the old Turnbull House. And so I looked around, and it was the lady, and she lived on 222 Fairbrook Street, and that's the home that we were living in when I was a little boy. And I was quite surprised, but it's still that way. And there are
the old-timers.
To the old-timers, and there are not too many of the old-timer homes around. I suppose later on the old Yerkes home and so forth around town will be named the same way, but the old homes in Northville owned by the old-timers, or owned by the new-timers that the old-timers know about, is still... Who built the house? It's not just like the house that you live in. You live in the old Pearl Parmeter house. You don't live, it's not your house, yeah. It's the old Parmeter house, because the Parmeters, didn't they build that house?
No.
They bought it.
Yeah. I can't think of the couple, but I know the older couple built that house.
But they were the only couple that did.
That's right.
The other couple didn't.
Right.
Didn't the Eatons own some other homes in the area?
Well, I don't know if we went in that before, but Mr. Eaton's father owned the stone house over on South Rogers Street. And that home on South Rogers Street was built by a Detroit policeman that came out to Northville on the weekend, and he had a friend. Well, I wasn't going to say it, but anyhow, he had a friend, and they would live together in the home on the stone house on South Rogers Street on the weekends. And at that time, there was a orchard, as I understand it, of about 70 acres of land. Well, 70 acres of land would be completely all of Orchard Heights, all the way almost up to Clement. So this was was all orchards, and Lee Eaton went to the University of Wisconsin to become
a horticulturist.
So his father came home from Detroit and bought this piece of property from the policeman because he wanted to have a place for his son to have his orchards. So then they lived on the home on South Rogers Street and with the orchards, but then I was talking to Lee Eaton's daughter a while back, and she said my father never kept the orchard for too many years, and the orchard didn't make too much money. But later on, when they subdivided the 70 acres into 5-acre plots, then my father made out very well on selling the land. And all this land was sold in 5-acre lots, and then later on, it was split up from the 5-acre lots into the present lots that they are at the present time. But a lot of these lots still have an orchard. You still have an apple tree on it. We have a crab apple tree out in our backyard, which is about 125 years old. Rocky just had an apple tree on his property that died, and they had to cut it down last fall. It broke my heart to see that tree come down, and I didn't know it was dead. But from the 70 acres to 5-acre lots in the present time.
Is that her father or her grandfather? I think it's the grandfather, but
this part, what that the only Eaton.
Yeah.
It was Lee Eaton's father.
Right, but well, it sounded like Lee Eaton, but Lee Eaton's father.
Lee Eaton's father, yes.
Right.
And then later on, why they bought the house right next door to us, and so
they built that house first, right after they were married, they lived in there.
Right. There's a house on and the barn in behind their house. They took that barn down and took the barn wood and built the house next.
And the cedar shakes from the outside they put on the outside of this house. And
tell them how they did about the cedar shakes.
Everything
now, with the house we're talking about is one right next door to us, right south of us.
75 Eaton Drive. It was the Levi Eaton's junior, I don't know, but anyway, the Eaton's the son who built that house, and that's where they lived when they were first married. And Mrs. Eaton was even telling us that before they were married, she was hauling stones for the basement walls and so forth, Lee was, of course, helping, and when Lee came home for supper that night in the stone house, his mother bawled him out for having his fiancée working so hard on their new home. Well, anyway, this barn was disassembled and practically everything used in this house at 375 Eaton Drive. They were in the At one time, the rotogravure section of the Detroit News were brown and white. Mm-hmm. And I think the father, I don't know exactly, but he made the ink for this for that section
each week, the brown
section. Mm-hmm. But this one week, it wasn't exactly right. So they couldn't use it. So instead of throwing it away, because they were very frugal, they saved it, and each one of the cedar shakes of the barn, they hand-dipped and dried, and that's what they used on that house, and we always called it, until recently, we'll say 10 years ago, the Little Brown House. But then Plunkett's, who bought it from Eaton's in the 40s, they didn't want it to be called the Little Brown House, just because it was Eaton's house that they always named it that. They changed it to, they painted it green.
That was kind of interesting at that time when Mr. Eaton said to Mr. Plunkett, who he just sold a house to, he said, this house has always been the Little Brown House, and I would suggest that you leave it as the Little Brown House, because we always like it as the Little Brown House. It's always been known about that. So the first thing that Mr. Plunkett did was go over and paint it green, because he wasn't going to have anybody tell him how to paint his house.
Okay, what would be your estimate as to when they built the Little Brown House? Would it be like maybe 10 years older than this or 20 years
I would
older?
Say that. So about
10, probably.
10. How old would you say that the stone house on South Rogers is immediately behind your house? So it's about
right. Which Castellane lives in there right now?
I don't know exactly. Well, I'd say 1900. But
oh, no. No, it's about 1875.
Well, you don't know.
Yeah,
for sure,
it's very close.
But older than.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Because I would that when you were talking about two previous owners, it must
right.
be.
Mm-hmm. I guess so. You should research
right.
that sometime.
I know very well it's somewhere between 1850 and 1875.
So you would put that as the oldest house in this section, in the Orchard Heights section.
That one in Fran Gasley's. Fran Gasley's was one of the other older homes. I don't know.
Across the street, then that one probably owned the farmland going the other way.
Right.
No problem.
Right.
Could be.
Fran Gasley's home, and I would say would even be a little bit older than the stone house, right about the, pretty much
the same
time.
Same.
Right.
But they would be the two oldest houses in this immediate
area. They would be the only house. At that time, there would be the only houses on, at that time, it was called Main Street. No, it was Roger Street, yeah.
No,
Roger
those
Street,
houses
yeah.
on Main and
yeah, the Main Street house
Main
probably
Street
came out that far.
We're talking about Rogers.
Yeah, but
Rogers.
I was thinking in the Orchard Heights area.
Yeah.
Those would be the.
No,
I don't know if the Gasley house was in Orchard Heights.
No, it wasn't Orchard Heights. That's not Orchard Heights.
That's right.
Or the Wade house.
Yeah,
the Gasley
the Wade house, right.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're coming close to the end of the tape, so do either of you have any other things that you can think of that you might like to mention that we haven't covered? I know there are a lot of things in the community that, believe it or not, that we haven't covered in two tapes.
Well, I think that what I can think of that when Rita and I were children in Northville was a very lovely little town to live in, and everybody was very proud to live in Northville, and there was an awful lot of spirit, and the big spirit was between Northville and Plymouth. Plymouth was more or less our enemies when we were in high school in sports. Now it has switched down a little bit more to Northville and Novi, and in the early days why the students of Novi did not have a high school. So the students from Novi would go to grade school in Novi, and then they'd all come to Northville to go to high school. And so Northville had very good sport teams because they had the teams, the boys and girls from both towns. Northville has not changed very much in the last 50 to 75 years in the old section of Northville. We were talking about this yesterday. Northville is like Europe. You had the old section of a city and the new section of a city, like in Dubrovnik, Yugoslavia, except their old section of Dubrovnik was built in about 1492, and the new section of Dubrovnik was built in about 1700. Well, in Northville, the old section of Northville started out in 1827. And went up as far as Base Line Road, and that was the end of Northville. So from Base Line Road south, It has changed very little. In fact, it's probably the same as what it has been. Even downtown Northville, the buildings haven't changed too much.
Or the houses, only the one the ones that they took down for parking lots.
Right. North of 8 Mile Road, all the way out to to about 8.5 Mile Road, that is where the new area has grown. And at that time, Novi didn't need the extra land, so Northville acquired the land from Novi. And so now there are equal amount of people living in old Northville as there is in new Northville.
Across the first subdivision.
Excuse me, just one thing. And Northville is still a very nice little town. And with the downtown development and the trees and the benches and the van shell, Northville is very, everybody in Northville are very, very proud to live in Northville. And I think that's what's kept Northville is what it is of today. Everybody who lives in Northville are proud to live in Northville. And so everybody in Northville are boosters. And out of the approximately 8,000 people in Northville, maybe it's a little high, about 7,500, I would say we have 7,000 boosters. And everybody's saying Northville is a great town to live in, and it is a good town.
What were you going to say about the first subdivision?
I don't know.
You don't remember?
Yes, I remember.
You want to see something else?
No.
Oh. Well, that's all I can think of, so.
Okay. Well, I'd like to thank both of you for taking your time today to talk to me and for sharing your memories with the Oral History Project. And I know that these additions are going to be good additions.
Amen.